Chapter 6, and the children can be dismissed. Thank you. Matthew chapter 6, our go-to text for a few weeks yet. We are going through a series that demonstrates to us what it is we should be doing when we pray. I don't believe the Lord Jesus intended for us to simply memorize a prayer and at the right moments, together as a group of fellow believers, to repeat that prayer together. Although I don't see anything specifically wrong with doing that, I do think, however, that the intention was to guide us through the steps of what it means to pray in the correct manner. And we have gone through a few different parts of the challenge already. And so the text today is verse 11 specifically. It says, "Give us today our daily bread." And there's a lot being said here that we're going to break down so that we can benefit from what is the best understanding of that part in prayer. We've been challenged already to give honor to God. We've been challenged to put that honor into action. We have been challenged to intentionally submit to God's will. You know, having faith in God is an intentional thing. It's a decision you make to do. It's very much like love. Love is not a feeling. Love is a decision. And it's wonderful when the feelings are there. But of course, the challenge is to love when the feelings are not felt. And I believe that is very closely related to the submission to God's will. You submit because you know it's the right thing to do, not because you feel like doing it. Amen? Amen. We've been challenged to align ourselves to His will. So we got the submission part, and now we are aligning our life into that understanding of His will. That's an important aspect of learning what it is to pray. Never let somebody tell you it takes greater faith to tell God what to do than it does to trust His plan of what to do. So today we move on to the promises. Whew, thank the Lord. We've been challenged about honor. We've been challenged about His will, submission. It's like, finally we get to the good stuff. Now we get the promises, amen? We get the benefits of our faith. We get the benefits of our sacrifice and living as a sacrifice unto the Lord daily. We get the benefits of picking up our cross every day and trusting Him. So we give us this day our daily bread is the focus. But I want to point something out for you. It doesn't say, give us this week. It doesn't say, give us this month. It doesn't say, give us this year. Or any other expression of time. It says day and daily. There's a lot to be grasped and understood and comprehended in that short little phrase. It is God who can sustain us and give us what we need to live each day. Each day. Now, if you're honest, as I know you are, you would love to be able to have an entire year all planned out. You would like to know what a year from now would bring. Did you know it's been exactly 1 year ago today that Tina and I were here in official capacity and I did my first service with you? Wow! But I had no idea what each day would bring us to this day today. No idea. No understanding of the future. All I knew is God is with us today. And when I wake up tomorrow morning, guess what? He's with me tomorrow as well. And He's with you tomorrow. That's such a valuable understanding when it comes to our prayers. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Not this week, not this year, Not the 10 years, not, you know, that doesn't mean don't plan. It doesn't mean don't put money into a retirement account. I mean, those are smart things to do. But God's promise for you is He is going to take care of you today. Hallelujah. We are taught to put ourselves in a position of trusting and relying on God to be our provider. That's the challenge. The ultimate source of provision for all our needs. He is the one. He will provide for your body, for your soul, and for your spirit. Praise God. I have no idea what tomorrow is going to be until tomorrow gets here. We had some fun yesterday. It's great to have Chad and Melissa with us. My cousin, our cousin, and cousin-in-law. Is that what we call you, Melissa? I don't even know what we call that. Your family. Right. You know, they've been in the ministry for 20 years, and they're in transition right now, and they're praying for God's will. That's awesome. My brother and his wife, Kyle and Marla, are here, and some of you know Kyle through my stories, and it's wonderful. I'm sorry. I just got to do it. I got to share the fun stuff. How wonderful and awesome we are, right? It's good to have family here. It's been a fun time. But yesterday we had fun. Out on the OHV Short Pine area with the side-by-side that Kyle has been working on with tracks. It's got tracks. That's awesome. I had my four-wheeler after we went out together. Kyle and I went earlier, and we just did lots of cool stuff. Went inside a cave and explored. But when we're out there in the afternoon later on that day, we're out there, and I'm ripping and roaring with my four-wheeler up and down these things, and at one point, it was like we're deciding on a trail, and I said, well, I guess let's go up this way, and if I can make it, I can make it. You know, I don't know if I can make it or not. And we got to test out the, what do you call that thing? The wench. There you go. It's not Amazing Grace, what a wench I am. It's and it's not wrench, you know. I told my story about learning that. So anyway, you got this wench out, and I could not make it up the hill. It was too steep, and it was slippery, and I was like, slide down. And Kyle went, tracks are awesome, by the way, and they went right to the top. So we got to try that out. We had no idea if we were going to make it home or not, right? We kind of hoped we would. And then we're finally just about done, and then actually one of the tracks, something came apart, and it wasn't good. So we didn't quite make it back to the road. We didn't know that was going to happen, right? No idea. But we didn't throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, I guess God left us. No, we just put our heads together and come up with a plan. And thankfully, the Lord got us out and the Jeep. It was some doing. We had not planned for the breakdown. You're not going to plan for everything you face in life, but God's promise is, I am with you. Give us today, Lord, what we need to live. Give us today, Lord, what we need to survive. Give us today our daily bread. That's not an easy thing to say. It's not an easy thing to learn and to live. The first point, one of the greatest challenges that we face is allowing God to have control over our finances. We want to have it all figured out. We want to have it all planned. And it doesn't always work out. Money can be a source of ongoing stress. I talked about tithing, and I'm not going to go in that direction today. I simply want you to have faith that God has it under control. Amen? 70% of Americans worry about money all the time. 70%. That's a high number. Yet 80% would rather talk about their weight problem than their credit card debt. Shane's back there going, preach it, brother. He's guiding our ship for the Financial Peace University. I was actually, I guessed correctly about the amount of debt that our class had, not including mortgage debt, but I was shocked I was right. It was a lot. It's like, wow. So There's challenges that we face when it comes to finances. Did you know that Bible and money is really a hot topic? Did you know that? Here's the truth. Nearly 800 verses in the Bible deal with money and money management. 800. Wow. There's a lot of things that I think about when I hear that number. I know that Jesus fulfilled over 300 prophecies by coming as a child without sin, living his life as he did, rising from the grave after his crucifixion, all the things that surrounded his life, over 300. But we're talking about a big number here. We're talking 800. Did you know that that's more than all of the verses in the Bible about heaven and hell combined? That's big. We preach about heaven and hell, don't we? We learn about it in Sunday school class. We want everybody to know there is a heaven, there is a hell. But we don't always talk about money and how we should be able to trust God every day that he will provide. I remember those moments. You know, you go through different levels of financial blessing through life. And Tina and I, at a certain point, we were basically dirt poor. I mean, we literally didn't have money to do much of anything, and we didn't have an ability to buy any presents for Christmas. Remember that? And we didn't know what to do, and we just felt, well, I guess that's okay. You know, Christmas isn't about gifts. But there was that little bit of disappointment. And then I decided I needed to change oil in the car on top of that. I knew it was coming close, so I said, look inside the manual. Find out what I wrote down for the last oil change. And she opens it up and out pops a $100 bill. I just about went off the road. She goes, oh my goodness. And I'm like, what? Whoa. What happened? Where'd that come from? And it totally lost our memory as far as when that went there until we saw it. And we remembered, that's right. Somebody gave us this as a gift, and we didn't know what to do with it, so we stuck it in here and thought, well, when we need it, it's there. And we totally forgot it was even there. Isn't it a cool story how God just blesses? He didn't have to do that. Our kids didn't need a present that week, or Levi, if he was just a baby. I don't remember even what the situation was. I just remember going, wow. Wow. God takes care of you and me. I think we have to play a role in being wise with how we handle things, yes. And I think it's wonderful to learn the skills of management when it comes to money. But do not become the worrier that's always frustrated and concerned. Trust God with your finances. You know, Luke chapter 12, verse 34 tells us, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If your heart is constantly concerning about the finances of your life, you better back up a few steps and check things out, because you may have your priorities mixed up. Money can be a strength in your life. It can be a blessing to others. It is also something that can be debilitating, which can cause you to feel frustrated, defeated, and paralyzed. Honestly, over the years, I've dealt with situations when it comes to money with people, and I have found a disturbing reality. It's more common for me, in my experience, to deal with the love of money being the root of all kinds of evil. It's more common for me to deal with that with the poor than it is with the rich. You don't have to have money to love it. As a matter of fact, we live in a society that's scratching everything they can to try and win the big bucks. And that concerns me. My one-line joke that I say, and people don't even think it's funny because it's probably too close to a dad joke, is I'll say something like, you know, I learned something about the lottery, about the $300 million Powerball thing. What's that? I learned that I'm probably not going to win if I don't buy a ticket. Now, I'm not going to stand here and start condemning people that buy tickets, but I am going to ask you to look within and ask yourself, where's the priorities? Because that's something you need to answer. Where are my priorities when it comes to the finances and God? Well, God tells you that when you pray, you need to pray, give us today our daily bread. Not set me up for life so I can retire at 47 years old. I'm still holding on to 47. Right? If I stepped on your toe too hard, I kind of apologize. Just a little. Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at that. And then we'll move on. And everybody said amen. Galatians chapter 6. If you notice my voice is getting kind of funny, that's okay. I got a little bit of a cold. It's no big deal. We'll get there. We'll make it through. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through verse 10. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Everybody say amen to that one. Do not become weary because you're doing God's will and it's frustrating and difficult. Please don't become weary. Keep on. It says, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. What's the proper time, by the way? You ever wonder that? Lord, I've been reaping and really working hard here. I've been just giving and serving. When's the blessing come? Well, I can promise you, when you die, you're going to get a really awesome blessing. That's a promise from the Word of God. You can take that to the bank in heaven. When's the proper time? Well, honestly, God's promises do not need to be given to us today. But I guarantee that you're storing up treasures in heaven. Amen? It's an interesting consideration when you look at this passage about reaping and sowing eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In other words, if you're doing really good in loving the world and you're not offending anybody because you're gracious and you're gentle and you give answers to the questions of people when they ask about your faith and you're doing really well when it comes to sharing your faith with others, but you treat one another like crud, there's a problem in the church. We need to especially, it says, treating one another with love and respect. You will reap what you sow. Amen? Hallelujah. There, I got through it for you. We're good to go? We're good? Your finances, give them to the Lord. Trust Him with those things. Let Him guide you. He will give you your daily bread. Hallelujah. Let's trust as well. Number two, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I already don't like this verse. I can do it here. Trust in the Lord with all your mind. I'm good at that. I can analyze. I can think things through. I can break it down. But here, it's kind of tough to trust the Lord with this thing right here, this heart, this soul, this identity of the one that's eternal. I will always be somewhere in life. I will either one day go to heaven or I one day go to hell. That person of who I am, the Kevin Peterson that has become, will always be somewhere. This Kevin must trust the Lord with his heart and not lean on the noggin upstairs. But we got it all upside down. We got it all backwards. We're trying to trust Him with our brains and hoping it somehow gets to the heart. You're doing it wrong. You got to begin with the heart. You can go to Sunday school class every day of your life and learn every possible knowledge there is to learn, but it will not penetrate to the heart if you have not submitted to Christ. Give us today our daily bread, God says. In order for us to do that, to understand that He will provide and bless each day, you must trust Him with your heart. I looked for a video, and I couldn't find it, and I'm disappointed. And it showed me trusting the skills of my older brother, Kyle. And I'll just have to paint the picture for you. I was probably 1 year old, maybe two. I could have been up to three. I don't remember. The video would have revealed that. And Kyle, with his amazing skills, made a chair. And he had these boards that you could tell he had nailed nails through the board into the next one, and he made a chair with a back and everything. It was really cool looking, and there's an 8mm film of this that shows me sitting in the chair, and it's like, and Kyle is just so proud. He's like, oh, and I'm just sitting there like, my big brother's awesome. And my dad, who was filming, must have said something about, wiggle a little bit, Kevin, because all of a sudden I go like this, and the whole thing's, whoa, 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 whoa. It's so awesome. And I couldn't find that video, so I feel bad. So now you have the mental picture, at least. But I trusted the skills of my brother, and it may not have been valid. It's probably lucky I didn't end up with a nail somewhere in my body. That's another story. But it was uninhibited, full-on trust. Now think of Kyle and Marla's daughter, Sarah Lee, who I heard stories of. She loved to climb, and she would jump in her daddy's arms. And there was a couple times where Kyle got lucky enough to turn just in time to see his daughter flying through the air because she just trusted daddy so much. That's great. I want to ask you, can you trust God that way? You can. But you got to do it from the heart. Because your brain will tell you, no way. There's no way this is going to work. Don't let your brain turn you aside. You must trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He will direct your path, but it must be from the heart. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. It tells us that men will trust in chariots and horses and men. Let's look there. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Isn't that amazing? We don't trust in chariots anymore. We trust in vehicles, I suppose. You believe it'll start, it'll run, it'll keep going for you. You're trusting a man-made object that eventually will break down, by the way. But God will not. He never breaks down. He just keeps going. He's strong. He's faithful. He loves. He guides. His rebuke will be there with you as well, and I'm thankful for it. Because if I get out of line, I want God to slap me up, straighten it out. Because it's going to do far less damage for me to get slapped up by God than it is the world. Because He loves me enough to discipline me, that's what we learn. Don't have a misplaced trust. And I want to say this, especially for the men, do not have a misplaced trust in yourself. You are not all that. You need God. You need His guidance. You need His strength. You need His wisdom. You need to allow God to have His rule and reign in your life. Trust Him. And trust Him with your heart. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Let's go there. Ladies, you got to trust God too. Amen? I know one of the great challenges for all women is to feel secure. I will tell you this, unashamedly, your husband, if you're married, will not make you completely secure. Don't put that on him. Your security needs to come first from God. And then through the relationship of husband and wife, you will find security in your man as he's also following God. Amen? Trusting is a very important part of all of our lives. Men don't like to be vulnerable. We hate to step out in faith because we might fail, and then our manhood is questioned. Get over it. Become a man and step out. Follow God with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. Amen? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, and blew against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Which house are you building, guys and gals? Which house are you building before the Lord? Well, you must trust the Lord your God. Put the things that you hear from him into practice and see the rock of the foundation allow for you to build a solid house. Because guess what? The rains are going to come. The streams will rise. And there will be a chance that the house will be under great torment. But it will stand strong if you build on the rock. So your finances, your trust, and now you must yield. It all sounds good, but now we actually have to do it. Give us today our daily bread, it says. Those words follow a declaration of honor and commitment to the will of God. I honor you, God. I'm committed to your will. Give us today our daily bread. Too often we pray, give us today our daily bread. I might do what you say, and then I'll honor you. Come on. Let's be honest. Too many Christians pray that way. Lord, here's what I want. Why'd you lose faith? Well, he didn't do what I asked him to do. I don't know if God's real. Well, you got the prayer upside down. Honor God. Commit yourself to his will. And then the provision comes. Every day. Hallelujah. Yield to the Lord your God. Yield to the great provider. We're going to close with Psalm 1, verse 1 through 6. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 6. Blessed is the man and the woman. I'll just add that there because it's intended. It's all mankind. Blessed is the man and woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. I want to back up to that verse 3 one more time. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Growing up on a farm, guess what? We don't harvest every day of the year. There's a lot of work that goes into the field to make it ready to harvest. And harvest time itself is a very small window of that entire year. Guess what? It works that way with ministry as well. It works that way with our faith walk with God. We don't have constant harvesting. It comes in season. You are a tree planted by the streams of living water. It yields its fruit in season. Keep that in mind. Don't be frustrated. Don't become weary in well-doing. Continue in faith because God will provide today. And then you wake up and you continue in faith. God will provide tomorrow. And it will continue every day until Jesus comes or until you die. Verse 4 says, not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that with the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are blessings in yielding to God and allowing for His word to be our guide. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give Him yourself completely. And I realize as you look at point number one, you're wondering, why finances? Why is that such a big focus? Well, the rich young man that came before the Lord was able to keep all the commandments that had to do with honoring in such a way that he was able to say, I have not committed adultery, I have not lied, I have not cheated my neighbor in any way, shape, or form. But all of the things that Jesus didn't mention were related to the honor and submission to God. Love the Lord your God. Not to have any idols. So Jesus said to the rich young man who wanted to know what he must do to come into the kingdom of God, he said, you need to sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. And he walked away very sad. Very sad. And Jesus said, it's almost impossible for the rich man to get to heaven. I use the word almost because he gave an understanding that it's like the eye of the needle thing. And you understand that possibly. But the point is, if we can give him the major things of our lives, the smaller things seem to fall into place. So let's start with the big ones. And recognize as you pray that the promise of God is to give you daily bread. Daily bread. Not weekly bread. I was going to read Exodus 16 with you, and I'm not going to do it now because it just didn't happen. But I'll give you a paraphrase of understanding. On your own, if you have time, Exodus chapter 16, verse 11 through 26. It reveals to us that the children of Israel, as they wandered in the wilderness, were crying out for something to eat. And God provided manna from heaven. And it's so funny, when this stuff showed up on the ground, they said, what is it? And that is actually what manna is. It's manna is not a holy word like, oh. Manna literally means, what is it? Would you give us some of that, what is it? It's funny to me. It's like, oh, 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 what is it? It's like, it just doesn't match that honoring, like, wow. So manna is just stuff. They didn't know what to call it, so they just called it stuff, basically. And they couldn't keep it. They could only eat what was there for that day, except on Sabbath, when the Sabbath was coming. They got double portion. Same with the meat. The quail come along, and they're stupid quail. I think God must have somehow made them live without brains. Because they just went out there and picked them up. I don't know if they even had to clonk them on the head. They certainly didn't have 12-gauge shotguns. But they got the meat they needed for each day. And they did this for 40 years. 40 years God provided. How often? Every day. Give us today our daily bread. God could have said, all right, you need to build this really big building. You ever hear of Noah? Well, yeah, I heard of Noah. Well, why don't you build a barn that big? Because I got lots of quail coming. Or I got manna that you just can't believe. No, he didn't say that. He said, you cannot keep more than a day's worth. And they didn't discipline themselves. They basically said, well, I want to keep more because I don't know about this thing, this manna. You know, it might not come tomorrow. So they kept a little back, and it turned to wormy, maggot-filled crud. And Moses got angry with them because they didn't have faith. Let's use that as our example when we understand prayer. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. I'm not worried about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. I'm worried about today. I'm not really worried. I'm just trusting you, Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, I trust you. You will provide. What's going to happen tomorrow? I have no idea. I might not even have a voice tomorrow. Oh, well. I got the preaching through. Praise God. Can you trust him? Yes. Let's learn the lesson that Jesus taught us of how to pray. Honor God, trust his will, and know that he'll take care of you today. Amen. Stand with me as we close.